You can have anything in, of love that you want to have in your life as long as you let go of your belief that you got to have it through the form or the person you have decided. I really want to have a person in my life who really loves me and I love them and they really want peace. You can absolutely, totally, and completely have that. But when I say it's got to be you, now that's when I just messed up. Because by deciding on her, then I've lost understanding of what my purpose was. You see, my purpose is to experience peace and love. But the moment I say it's got to be you, now I've made having you more important than having love. So I have effectively made you an idol. Now, love could want to get to me, especially if she doesn't want to give it to me. You know, she might not be about to puke as soon as she see me. She might not want to. Besides, he ain't going to like it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, until we get to the next level, he'll be glad. But we just get to the point where we realize we're separate bodies. You know what I'm saying? So you hear my point. But if I go, I deserve love. I am asking for love from the universe to come to me in the perfect form for me. That's totally different from saying, I've decided I've got to have you, and I'm not going to accept it. I've seen so many people in counseling and working and teaching this for 25 years that are so miserable because they decided on who or what their happiness should come through, and it doesn't want to come through their personal situation. And they spend all their time trying to get it from where it doesn't want to come. So what are they doing? They are sacrificing their happiness. And that's what the Course says, that we think that sacrifice is love. Oh, I really love you, and this is real love, but it has no satisfaction. No way. And that's what he said. That's the kind of decision we got to make. We got to make the decision that love equals satisfaction, and sacrifice equals fear, and no satisfaction. It's deep. And he said, because what we got to do is learn how to tell the difference between love and fear. It says, because we don't know how to tell the difference between love and fear. So sometimes we go right toward fear thinking that is love and have love there and then run away from love. People are much more suspicious of a kind person than a person that's not. You put a kind person through a million tests. Women are extremely discerning when it comes to me. Much more so than when I wasn't of the highest quality of modem. You know, if a priest asks you out for a date, you'd think twice. So one of the things that happens when you become more peaceful and when you become more loving is that people who still believe that love is sacrifice, they're not very attracted to you. And they really check you out. Okay. Now the Course in this next part of the paragraph tells us why Jesus was born. Okay? It said, and Jesus is really Pop for short, the Prince of Peace. And so he says, the Prince of Peace, Jesus, was born to reestablish the condition of love. How? By teaching. What? That communication remains unbroken even if the body is destroyed. Because that's what happened. Jesus' body, according to the story, Jesus' body was destroyed and he still resurrected and continued to communicate. So the Course is saying that higher beings are basically born to teach us that you still exist even if your body is destroyed. That's an interesting idea. That my mother, who made her transition in 1992, that the communication between us still remains, even though her body is destroyed. And it does. Then it says, provided, that's the clause, right? It says, provided what? That you see not the body as the necessary means of communication. So let's take the whole sentence back. Jesus was born, why? To teach us the condition of love. This is how you have love, okay? He says, well, how do you have love? Well, you have love by learning that communication still continues even if the body is gone, provided you don't see the body as the necessary means of communication. That's a mouthful. That's what I love about this book. Whether you believe it or not, you can't deny it says stuff that's different. You know. Now, let's see the truth of that. If you believe my body is necessary for you to be able to communicate with me, that is your belief, okay, then if my body dies, will you believe you can communicate with me? No. I mean, we can say the metaphysical answer, but if we want to get real, we'd say no. Okay? That's why it seems like love could be lost. I love my mother. My mother is gone. It looks like I lost my mother. We say that. I lost my mother. In the South, we would say stuff like that. I lost my mother. Or my mother passed. Or my mother died. In the course of saying, yeah, well, yeah, that union, which is love, is going to appear like it's broken if you believe that you can't communicate with your loved ones because their body has been destroyed. And that's exactly the way it appears, doesn't it? Okay, well, the book just said why. The reason why the communication doesn't continue is because you think a body is necessary for the communication to happen. So you're not ready to have a conversation with a disembodied spirit. Do you know why? It would shake and rock your world. It would scare your pants off. If my mother started to talk right now in this room without a body, it wouldn't be people here very long. I bet you, I don't care how brave you are, you get the hell out of here or go into some kind of a shock. So don't analyze that. It's just the fact that Jesus was born to teach us that who we really are survives the body. That's all we need to remember. Then it says, and if you understand this lesson, then he tells you what's going to happen if you understand what you just heard. He says, you will realize that to sacrifice the body is to sacrifice nothing. If you understand. Now, if you don't understand that we exist beyond the physical body, then he says, your body will be everything to you. And you would think that to be without a body would be the worst thing you could possibly imagine, because your whole reality is your body. So it says that, but he says, but if you understand your true spiritual identity, then you would go, well, to lose a body is to lose nothing. It's the same as saying, oh wow, I got this shirt, it's pretty worn out, poof, it's gone, but I'm not my shirt, and you are not your body. How do you feel about this statement? Anybody, how do you feel about the statement, you are not your body? Yeah.
I'd just like to make a comment. I used to live out on the coastside and take my daughter to the old Pioneer Cemetery.
Uh-huh.
And I can't remember the exact wording on it, but it was something of that nature, that I am only my body, nothing else, nothing has existed before or after. And then we went around and looked at all the rest of the gravestones. And Tamara at the time was probably 5 or 6. And she mentioned, she said, you know, there's nobody there. but there's somebody in all these other places.
Yeah, I think I've gone to the grave site, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going to grave sites, that's symbolic of your sending that person